Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. It is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're off and running. We got sports here for you for the next 5 hours. It's a college football playoff semifinal Thursday here in the G-Bag Nation. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. I could use one right about now, tell you what. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. You got Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75-6, 35, fixing to go, 5 flawless, like it's nothing. Wolchuk and Chiafalo are here. Somebody's coordinating our video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Carter Freeman Station unmanned as we set sail on this 5-hour journey. How the heck you guys doing?
Wonderful.
Really great, man. Really great. If it wasn't for the 6:30 kickoff tonight, I would just be feeling elated, like Blake Elliott style.
I'm going to get this thing on. Don't worry. I'm going to figure out these TVs for the first time ever.
Yeah, looking forward to this. Miami and Ole Miss. We got a guest coming up, don't we, at 4:20 to talk about this. With
Denton Day.
Denton Day. He's the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. It just brings up the great nostalgia for me with Miami being this good. I think I'll be pulling Hurricanes tonight, and if they make it to the national championship, I think that's the team that I'm going to be rooting for. But tonight, it's difficult to call who's going to get this dub.
Yeah, I'm excited. We'll break it all down in the Darty, of course, a little bit more. But yeah, like the Miami alumni and the playmaker Michael Irvin, and you have Carson Beck telling the story that before the final drive versus Ohio State, you have Ray Lewis walking up to him, being like, "Yo, we got to get a score here, Carson." And he's like, "When Ray Lewis looks you in the eyes and says that, there's no way you can let him down.
He's got to do the pregame speech." Unless they're saving him for the natty. But, I mean, could you imagine Ray Lewis doing the pregame talk to Miami?
I mean, and between him and Michael Irvin?
Leads him out with the Ray Lewis
with
dance?
The dance?
I'm going to give you a better speech. I'm going to give you a guy who will give a better speech for the U.
Better than the playmaker and better than Ray Lewis.
Yep.
I freaking dare you right now.
I'm going to give it to you. Ed Reed.
I think Ed would do it better. Ed Reed is... a Miami Ed Reed, lover.
You ever heard Ed Reed speak?
I mean, yes, but not from like a pregame hype-up standpoint.
Yeah.
He'll get you going?
I think he did a pretty good one for the Florida. If going back to the U part two,
yeah,
I think it was before Florida State.
Ed Reed could, you would run through the wall for
and
Ed
it might have been a halftime deal where like they weren't playing up to the standard.
Oh, yes, I see it right now.
Yeah, Ed Reed.
Ed Reed's 2001 halftime speech is still legendary.
Yeah.
"I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right." And then he goes on like a 15-second tirade.
That's a good call.
All right, that's all it took. 15 seconds to get the team squared away?
I think that's all it took, man.
That is efficient.
And a little shot of Henny.
But I don't know if I've even seen Ed Reed like I saw Coach O and all these guys down on the sideline, Andre Johnson, Edrin James, and maybe the crew on the sideline from an alumni standpoint just gets bigger and bigger as it goes, mm-hmm. and so maybe you get more tonight. But I don't think Ed Reed was at the Cotton Bowl. So I don't know, but that might be worth
saying,
a phone call to bring him in.
I'm just saying, if it was me,
if that's
Michael,
who you're picking,
yeah. And
wow.
I respect Michael and the linebacker, but Ed Reed to me is a guy. When you want to talk about guy that lay it on the line and the way he plays,
mm-hmm.
one of the most respected players in National Football League history by the way he played.
Oh yeah,
yeah, listen to Belichick talk about him.
Best safety I've ever seen.
Yeah. He's amazing.
So when it comes to leadership for the Cowboys, as we are in our second full day of looking for a DC on DC watch, not a lot of momentum still, right? It looks like they're going to take their time at least through this weekend, maybe into next week before we start getting candidates named and reports happening. There's nothing, right? It's kind of crickets out there. They just gather an info stage.
Yeah, I think right now you're just trying to kind of line up schedules to see. There's probably some guys that you want to – they're obviously behind with some of the playoff team stuff. They can't really navigate that, but
which is laughable. You knew you were going to get rid of Eberflus, right? Like, you weren't surprised when you woke up on Monday or Tuesday and were making the decision.
Honestly, I don't think that they were going to get rid of Eberflus until the head coach stepped in there. I think Jerry was ready to move on, But I think the head coach stepping in there and saying, listen, well, at the time, we've got seven openings here. Now you got eight with McDonald, right? Mike McDonald's now out at Miami.
McDaniel.
That's all right. I did the same thing yesterday. There's a lot of McDaniel McDonald's, and they've all got farms.
And they're all Mikes.
A lot of M&M's.
But I think the head coach basically stepped up and said, you know, we've got to do something. We can't wait the 10-12 days.
Which snaps urgency into it, which is why I thought by today you would at least hear that we're going to bring in the guys who are currently not working. You know, I thought at least by now we'd hear a Brian Flores interview or something like that. But anyway, confidence they're going to get this right? Do you guys have confidence they're going to get this right, or are you cynical?
I am. I'm cautiously optimistic and confident they'll get this one right. Now, Bobby, you know, our Cowboys insider, he said he thinks it's going to be Jim Leonard or it's going to be Jeff Ulbrich. And I saw today you had the owner, the man who looks like he would be on the Haunted Mansion ride at Disney World, Arthur Blank, said that he is going to advocate for Ulbrich to stay as the defensive coordinator to whoever they hire. Now, obviously, that head coach will have the final say in that, but maybe you're not able to get him. The problem with the Jim Leonard thing, and this goes to why like I'm annoyed by it, is you could have requested to interview him this week. Like, now's the time to do it. They've got a bye week, so if they know they're interested in Jim Leonard, why are you waiting that out? Now, they could get screwed. As I've said, Vance Joseph is interviewing. He just completed an interview for the Baltimore Ravens gig. He's interviewing for several of these jobs. If he's hired, Jim Leonard's probably not an option anymore. I assume Sean Payton says, hey, stay here. We're going to go ahead and make you the defensive coordinator. But those are the two names Bobby keeps throwing out there as the who he thinks is going to land the job. I am, though. I think that Shoddy, there's too much on the line here not to get this right. I think he is going to do his due diligence and make sure that he gets the right guy for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We'll have to wait and see, though. And even if he does get it right, they're going to have to improve the roster significantly. And to hear Shoddy say it yesterday, he said he feels like they're good enough to still be playing right now, which was I guess you can look
laughable
at that and say we're 7-9-1. But I mean, how did you beat Philadelphia and Kansas City? I look at them as much more like a 5-11-1 team than close to 500.
Kansas City is kind of who they are. Philadelphia is.
Yeah.
I think if you asked what could potentially be the first round, I don't know if it's an upset, but San Francisco could go in there and knock Philadelphia around pretty good.
It was incredible how they slowed those offenses down so massively in the second half of those games.
Probably bad offense.
Couldn't slow down, significantly lesser players. But yeah, bad offenses, teams in crisis. I think you got lucky to win those games, though.
Sure.
You line them back up now, and I'd be picking the opposition. Speaking of the Cowboys and coaches, Jason Witten is the new OU tight ends coach. I'm kind of surprised by this, considering last year we were talking about him as a candidate to go be a head coach somewhere, including the Cowboys. But I think this is a story about a guy who really loves coaching and is committed to the process of figuring out what it takes to climb that coaching ladder. Like, to be a future Hall of Famer and to accept a position coach job like that, I think it speaks to how much you love football and how much you want to be a coach.
Yeah, this is a guy who has stepped into a job he was unqualified for, and the bright lights really got the best of him. And he probably doesn't ever want to make that mistake again. And now you inch closer to the NFL, getting in with the Sooners. I mean, he's one step closer to being the Cowboys' next head coach, like whenever that is. Yeah. Maybe it's in 2 years. Maybe it's in 5 or 10 years if Shoddy gets this thing right. But I think you're seeing him make the necessary climb, because it's difficult to be like, oh, I've been a high school football coach for forever, and then now I'm all of a sudden just going to be the Cowboys' head coach. No way. But all of a sudden, you're the tight ends coach at OU. Next thing you know, you're the OC, and then you blink, and you're the number one candidate for the Cowboys' head job in 5 years.
The 940 asking, should we bring Al Harris back as defensive coordinator? The answer to that question is yes, they should. It seems like he's got the enthusiasm, doesn't he? He's got the communication, the enthusiasm, the takeaways. Like, those are three things that Shoddy mentioned at the podium yesterday. I hope they're going to consider Al Harris. The 713. It's Pete Carroll, boys. Get ready. Hadn't heard that one before, but that would be something.
Man, he it's the flip, the role reversal with him and Shoddy. That'd be.
I don't think Shoddy would ever want to do that.
I don't think so either. And if you're Pete, and maybe he just loves coaching that much, but do you really want to just go be a defensive coordinator? And is he even still a good defensive coordinator? I mean, when's the last time he was calling defense?
I don't know. You know, I don't know if he's still good at that or if he is updating. Like, one of the criticisms of him as a head coach was that he was not catching along the trends in the back half of that 2010s decade and the whole let Russ cook thing. It was because they were trying to play, you know, run the ball and play defense. It seemed like an antiquated style, but, you know, if you're going to bet on any 73-year-old to stay modern and to update his stuff to stay relevant, I don't think you'd pick anybody but Pete Carroll. As Broadus mentioned, Mike McDaniel is out of there with the Dolphins, finished 35-35 in four seasons, including two playoff losses. 25% of the NFL is changing head coaches now. Eight of the 32 jobs are open. It's just it's a deal where if you don't win big immediately, and even if you do, I mean, go ask Doug Peterson or some of these guys, you can get blown out. You're hired to get fired, basically. I don't think you can take it personal. It's like, yep, got fired again.
You get paid well, though, if you get fired.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not like college football well with these buyouts and stuff like that. But, yeah, Pete Carroll's getting – he had a three-year deal. He's got two more years. He can go to Southern California now. He doesn't have to work, you know. I mean, he got – the Raiders are spending, what, $50 million on coaches right now?
Yeah.
And that includes the offensive coordinator that they let go. You know, so yeah, they're, you know, these coaches never feel sorry for a head coach that gets let go unless he's out of a contract.
Man, that's crazy. $50 million for coaches that aren't there. Jerry would never do that. I think the Raiders are more committed to winning than the Cowboys
are. They're still paying. They got $10 million they're paying Gruden.
Wow.
The Raiders.
The Ravens requested an interview with Brian Flores for their head coaching job. I like to hear that. I think that's what the Cowboys need. Keep him out of the division for sure. We don't want him with the Giants. Mm. I mean, preferably not the conference, considering how much he was able to do against Dak Prescott in this offense a month ago. That definitely left an impression on me. Latest embarrassment for the Chiefs hitting last night. The ex-girlfriend of Rashee Rice accusing him of 8 years of abuse, complete with pictures of some damage to her face. Who knows, you know, the full backstory on this. But it does continue a pattern of behavior for Kansas City Chiefs players, bringing in guys who have been accused of this in the past. And I don't know how you stick with this guy. You know, not even good enough. And I think... who was it? It was Shannon Sharp. They were playing audio of it this morning. He's basically making the point, your production buys you more tolerance. And I just don't think the production is high enough. Maybe they think everybody's like Tyreek Hill, just, you know, take a risk on a guy that nobody else wants to because of character issues or personality traits or whatever, and we'll get ourselves a superstar. But if you're not a superstar, you shouldn't be putting up with that stuff, Kansas City. Come on now. Okay, Mavericks trade deadline.
By the way, she held those photos for a very long time. She should have dropped those.
Yeah.
She had a situation. She should have told somebody instead of holding them and waiting for him to get a new girlfriend, then dropping them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never really...
It kind of looks strange. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I got a new girl, and then you drop all this stuff, which it can possibly all the way be true, whatever, but if you need help, get help early.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably holding out for the money, you know? And they'd be with him for a long time thinking, okay, eventually he's going to get this huge contract and everything's going to get happy and maybe he'll, you know, grow up a little bit.
Yeah, I think in her little write-up, she was saying, like, they had some type of agreement with the way that they were going to have their relationship here, which was not really going to be an actual relationship together, but he was going to be taking care of them in certain ways. And then now, like, he's not holding up his end of the bargain. So she's like, all right, now I'm coming out with this.
Yeah.
The check stopped clearing.
Mavs trade deadline approaching. The Trae Young deal did get completed, goes to the Wizards for CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. So it makes Atlanta better. McCollum's still playing pretty good ball. 18-21 after their win against the Pelicans. They're ninth in the East. They were 2-8 with Trae Young in the lineup, so it is a definitely addition by subtraction as well for them. But the interesting thing is they're in contention, and Shams is reporting that the Hawks also made this move to clear space for Anthony Davis. So maybe we are in the final approach to a Hawks trade for AD. The Raptors emerging as contenders for Anthony Davis as well. A little bit later on in the show, we'll talk about what would make sense from Atlanta, assuming they don't want to give up the rights to New Orleans pick, which is currently the 2 or 3 spot of the NBA draft lottery. So I don't think they'll be talked into giving up that. But, you know, worse decisions have been made.
They need to give it to us.
That would be amazing.
Thank you. That would be best case scenario.
We don't need Ricochet. You can keep him. Give us the pick.
I mean, they're saying they at this point, they don't know who's better as far as a prospect. Is it DeBonsa or is it Darren Peterson? And, you know, either one of those guys along with Cooper Flagg, all of a sudden you'd be thinking, wow, you know, maybe in some crazy way you ended up in a better position for the long term than even if you had had Luka. If you get DeBonsa or Peterson, you'd be in a better spot than if you had Luka. That's crazy.
Fortune favors the bold.
The Mavs are in Utah tonight. The Jazz, one of the few teams worse than the Mavs in the standings by a game. So lose this, and you'd be even with them in the race to the bottom. Salute to the stars. They got the dub for you last night, Wolchuk. Another must have made you happy.
Needed to get off the schneid. Thank gosh for Roddick Fox, that shorty, to get it started. And, hey, Thomas Harley, I was critical yesterday.
You were very critical.
Very sexy assist for Sam Steele to get that goal. Good stuff. Good stuff from the stars. They needed that. And then Ovechkin. It was nice. You give the old man a nice little goal there late in the third period. Go ahead and keep climbing up his history there in the NHL. Good to see the stars back in the win column. They'll get a nice little break before they're back in action Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to visit the San Jose Sharks on Saturday as part of a four-game Western road trip that will have three games in California and then that last one in Utah. Scottie Scheffler has made it his intentions clear. He's going to debut in 2026 at the American Express Championship later this month in La Quinta, California. Tournament officials saying Wednesday night. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. That's a snapshot of everything developing in the local and national sports scene as we do every afternoon here at the top of the show for you. Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL Insider, coming up at 3. Then Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime at 4:20. We got the champ on the other side, Wolchuk. Then your top 10. Where are you taking us?
All right, 877-881-1053. Do you want winter or do you want chokes? That's next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got the champ here, and then we have Wolchuk's Top 10 at 2:20. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius with your champ.
All right, our winner and champ of G-Bag of the Day so far comes from this very segment. Wooly Bully's Top 10 yesterday did the worst desserts. Mr. Broadus is not a fan of minced meat. Not a fan of it. I don't blame you, sir. Here's how it sounded.
Five for is us. Mincemeat pie.
Wow. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it's pork chops and applesauce.
Wow.
That's not an American.
Where did that come from? Is that German or something?
It sounds
19th century.
Yeah. Man.
Crazy, bro.
Take it down a little bit of vodka.
Mincemeat pie.
They're at the gates.
That's like
a mincemeat pie.
Yeah, that's like Game of Thrones.
We're about to be taken over.
Quick, tell mincemeat pies.
Oh, jeez. I can see Patton's tanks. Make a mincemeat pie.
Unload the pies.
The old mincemeat pie.
That's a dessert is insane.
It's gross.
Yeah,
and a lot of people were saying, I didn't, you know, I've always been wondering what's the secret with the pork chops. So I've been searching for this, but I guess applesauce does pair well nicely with pork chops.
Yeah, it does.
For a meal. I suppose, you know.
Add some brown sugar to it, maybe.
The pork and applesauce. But it does sound like we're finishing the meal with this.
Yeah, I think it was like, it's like your leftovers, you know, that you're repurposing now. But kind of dressing up.
Yeah.
I had a run in with some repurposed wings the other night at the grocery store. You know, I think they put them out fresh, and then if they've gone too long, then they bring them back in and they pre-season them to kind of mask the scent.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, these are safe. They might not smell good." So when I opened them up when I got home, I caught a whiff of it and I'm like, "Man, are these?" So I checked the packaging. I was like, "It says safe." So I cooked them. And boy, I've been on, haven't had any problem with the fiber last couple of days, if you know what I'm saying. Everything's running a little bit hyper efficient when it comes to the gastro.
It's tough.
All right, it's time now to get Wolchuk's top 10 at 220. Actually, I kind of appreciate it. I think I'd prefer this
kind
one the other way.
Needed yeah. that a little bit.
Yeah, a little clean out.
All righty, let's get into it. The top 10.
How about that for a poll question?
Yeah.
You either have the trots or constipation.
Which one's better? I think maybe give me the trots, but who knows? Top 10 biggest chokes in sports history. 877-881-1053. If Indiana were to lose tomorrow night, would you consider that a choke job?
No, not considering who they were playing.
Of Oregon. I mean, you're pretty high on Indiana right now, Eric. I feel like
I am. I mean,
like this team's not losing.
I don't expect them to lose, but it wouldn't be a choke job unless Oregon just like totally runs them.
Or they're up like three scores and here comes Dante Moore and Oregon rallies and it's like a 28-3 situation for Atlanta.
Yeah. It would take something like that because I do have respect for Oregon. I wouldn't call it a total choke job, but I will be surprised. I do think Indiana is just kind of in a different stratosphere right now. And maybe like if Ole Miss wins tonight, could somebody like Chambliss just be a superhuman dual threat player that breaks all the things that you think you know about a team? You've seen it before. How many times have you seen a dual threat quarterback tear up Saban or tear up Kirby Smart? Yep. And it's like, man, these are great defenses, but this guy is just on a different level right now. And Chambliss might be that dude, but yeah, as it stands right now, man, I don't think anybody's beaten Indiana.
Yeah, they do look like a juggernaut, but it is. I can't wait. I think this game tonight's going to be really, really fun. But looking at the top 10 biggest chokes in sports history, do you have a team, game?
Well, the Falcons.
Yep.
The Falcons, New England
28-3
is going to be on there.
Oh yeah, it's going to be in the top five.
Did they talk about the Buffalo Bills and Houston Texans in a I believe it was a divisional game,
AFC wild card.
Wild card game. Okay,
that's going to be in the 30, top three.
Was that a 31-point swing there?
Yeah, it was 35-3. And then Buffalo came back.
How about LeBron and them winning? They went down 3-1. That considered a choke?
Yeah, I think Golden State, absolutely. The 2016 NBA Finals would qualify here. Golden State Warriors up 3-1, and then you have Cleveland and the deli is open, and they come back and rally.
2000 Conference Finals for me in the NBA. Trailblazers up 13 going to the fourth. First possession, Steve Smith, high post, nothing but net up 15. They then missed their next 13 shots as the Lakers have that great comeback that sort of touched off the Kobe and Shaq trilogy.
13 shots.
Yeah, 11 of them quality shots. I was just actually listening to an interview with Mike Dunleavy, the coach of that team, and he was just so frustrated with the fact that they played well. They executed well. The ball just did not go in.
Man, I had a lot of people reach out and say, like, Tony Romo, just get the damn football down, dude.
How about you doing? I'm guessing here, this is from my era. This is from my era when I was growing up. Was there a collapse in baseball with the Phillies and the Mets? 64?
There is some baseball listed here in the top.
Oh, they only talk it because they were up 10 games. They were up 10 games in the standings and got overtaken. I think it was the Phillies got overtaken.
Yeah,
Gene Mock was the manager, I believe.
We do have a few of those where they have tremendous leads and then they just. It evaporates, you know, whether it's we got a couple top 10 ones in here that are going to be like, oh, they just had such a big lead, the Red Sox in 2011.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, that's Bucky Dent, right?
1986 Red Sox. I think that was the one that goes right between the legs there with Carl Yastrzemski.
Is there any individual players?
86 is Bill Buckner.
Yeah, we'll get some individual players on here as well.
Okay, good. I got one for sure.
Okay, who's yours?
Nick Anderson. Orlando Magic's game one. He missed four consecutive free throws in a row, bro.
Holy crap.
Took a whole gas out that team.
Damn.
They were done.
Chris Webber's on here.
The timeout?
The 93 NCAA championship. Yeah, that's an honorable mention. Called the timeout in the final seconds when he had no timeouts, resulting in a technical foul, and it cost his team the game.
Do the Rangers in 11 get in here?
Yeah.
They do.
They're 17 on the list. the 2011 Rangers in game six.
Just the wrong direction. The wrong direction, bro.
Okay, this might be, I know. It's just like.
You looked over the wrong shoulder.
You were down to the final strike two different occasions. What are we doing, guys?
Had the goofy goggles on and everything. We ready to pop champagne. Dude, we looked goofy.
Yeah.
Because we lost.
Oh, yeah. You guys have talked. Was that like the old fan?
Yeah, the fan lounge, bro. We had all of the merch on and everything. Goggles ready to just get it cracking.
Those were great goggles, too.
Fantastic, bro.
Didn't even save them.
I think I broke them.
Yeah.
Threw them in the parking lot.
I mean, there were people crying that they were about to win the World Series and then crying that they didn't.
Yep. Yeah,
and then more crying the next night.
It's unreal.
Even though they scored first.
We lived through that. Now, okay, here's the Red Sox in 78. Maybe this is one you're thinking of, Brian.
That's Bucky Dent.
Mid-season division lead, and they lost the AL East title to the Yankees after they dropped the one-game playoff.
Yeah, Bucky Dent hit a home run, I think, on the final day of the league year.
I think that's why you say it's Bucky Bleepin' Dent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Most people say Bucky Bleepin' Dent up there in Boston. Dent.
How about Bayern Munich 2012 UEFA Champions Final?
They gave up four goals or something in the last?
1-0 lead over Chelsea.
Oh.
And in the final, with seconds left in stoppage time, they allowed a late goal and then lost the game in PKs.
Drogba get them?
That's brutal.
That's a tough one right there. Here's number 10, biggest choke jobs in sports history. I don't know how to say this name. It's Wimbledon. Yana Novotna?
Mm-hmm.
Led Steffi Graf 4-1 in the final set.
Yana Novotna.
Ended up losing the next five games to hand Graf the championship.
Oh, I could give you one, too. Is this Gene Vandeveld? Are we going to take the 1999 Open Championship?
That was an honorable mention, too. Oh,
okay.
I skipped over it because I didn't know if anybody would know that one. But look at you. You're a bleeping encyclopedia.
That was a I think he had a 5-stroke lead on the last hole.
Yep,
made it. And that being a playoff,
he led to a triple bogey in a playoff loss to Paul Laurie.
Greg Norman? Was Greg Norman the other big choke?
That was another
Nick Faldo.
That was Nick Faldo. I think that was the 86 Masters.
Faldo.
I think I was right about that.
You nailed it. Yeah, 96 Masters.
96.
Yeah,
86 was when Nicklaus won it. I'm sorry. Yeah, 86 was Nicklaus.
817 section the 5 slam and jamma.
That would be North Carolina State beating, North Carolina State beating. That's Jim Valvano. It's Jim Valvano, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was like 54, 52. It was one of those
games. Took the air out of the ball.
Yeah.
2-on-4, the Packers Seahawks. That was actually in that NFC Championship
game. That was the game that they beat Dallas and went on to play the Seattle. Yeah. They were up big at half.
19-7 with 3:42 to go in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And then they lost the game in overtime because the Packers kicked that onside kick.
Was that 2016?
I think it was 14. I think 2014. It was after the Dez.
14. Dallas.
Oh, that was the Dez.
The Dez. Both of them, the Packers,
beat
the Cowboys.
Right.
Went on. And I think they got smoked in the NFC title game by Atlanta in 16. That's what resulted in what will be number 5 on this list. 9 is the Pittsburgh Penguins, the 75 Stanley Cup quarterfinals. They had a 3-0 series lead to the Islanders, and then they lose 4 in a row.
Chico Resch.
8 is the 2016 NBA Finals with Golden State.
All right.
3-1 series lead. Here you have the Cavs. LeBron with the all-time block. They come back and win. Cleveland, this is for you. Game 7.
Draymond kicking him in the nuts.
Oh, yeah, that was
huge. The nut kicking.
That was big.
How about this, the 9-7-9 when the Rockets missed 27 straight threes versus Golden State in that game 7?
Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't that the Western Conference?
They had them.
Yeah, that's 2018 Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
A playoff record, 0-for-27 from beyond the arc. And that was when, I think that was a 3-1 series, too, that goes to a game 7. And the Rockets, who were nasty from 3... And they go 0-for-27. That's Chris Paul, James Harden.
How many times did Golden State benefit off that? They were down 3-1 to OKC, and then Houston had them on the ropes. And I guess that karma bit them in the butt with Cleveland, but that's tough. Greg Norman, number 7, the 96 Masters.
Yeah.
Fred Brown, the 1982 NCAA Championship.
Georgetown?
Georgetown mistakenly passed the ball to a North Carolina Tar Heel player in the waning seconds of the game, effectively giving the game away.
What the
That's an all-timer. I can, other than like running the other way, which I think Jim Marshall did.
Jim Marshall against the 49ers. Yeah.
That's an all-time, like, I'm going to pass the ball to the other team in the final seconds for trying to win it. Like, here you go. Take it away. That is a what the F moment.
If we do top 10 drops at any point, that I don't know how you could beat that
one. That's all time.
As soon as you think it's done, there's still more.
Five is the Falcons, 28-3.
How is that five?
I know.
How could that possibly be five? That's a Super Bowl. That's not even just some run-of-the-mill game.
Okay, number one, I get why it's one, but I think you could argue.
How could there be four bigger chokes?
This should be two, I think, for sure. Four is the Red Sox in 86. They were one strike away from winning the World Series in game six, but then you had the clutch hit by the Mets.
Bill Buckner.
End up losing the game. And
Calvin Schiraldi was horrible that game, too.
He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
God, he was awful.
Houston Oilers, 93 AFC wildcard game.
Remember that one?
35-3 in the third quarter.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Frank Reich at quarterback, like the Jim Kelly wasn't even playing.
And then nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo
the
Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
As they
Frank Reich,
41-38, known as the comeback. And I think that's where that was born
from,
the Shalami.
I was skiing that day. I was barely able to get reception depending on where we were on the mountain. So I was getting somewhat regular score updates on that. Couldn't believe it. Got that old yellow Sony Walkman. Remember that? The Sport Walkman?
Yeah.
And a little blue
waterproof.
Dolphin.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What a day, dude. No, you just skiing the mountains and listening to some playoff play-by-play.
Yeah, with some but you had to be an expert skier because that thing, it was a Walkman, but it had these like foamy kind of headphones you had to wear.
Weighing you down.
I got the Sport ones. Yeah. The little tiny ones that kind of went in there and then you pull the hat over. Yeah. It was before the helmets.
Yeah.
Helmets are everywhere on the mountain these days. Everybody wears a helmet.
I mean,
now.
I never wore a helmet.
Neither did I.
Now, I think you have to.
I went back skiing like 5 years ago, and they're like, where's your helmet? I'm like, what are you talking about? You think
helmets?
I'm a P-word?
Ski with a baseball hat.
And I looked around, I was like, wait, everybody's wearing a helmet now?
It looked like a sissy.
Went soft.
Baseball hat and a joint.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
It is. Baseball will be the top two of the biggest choke jobs in sports. Red Sox, 9-game lead in the wild card race in September, went 7-20 down the stretch to miss the playoffs.
Oops.
Oof.
Regarded as one of the worst collapses in MLB history. That was the 2011 Sox. But
Matt Eberflus, manager.
Better history here for Boston. Number one, 2004 American League Championship Series. Yankees up 3-0. And the Red Sox, David Ortiz, we'll see you tomorrow night. They come clawing with their fingernails.
That's a Joe Buck call, right?
Yep.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
They win it in seven, and they break the curse of the Bambino. That is the biggest choke job in sports history. How about that, New York Yankees?
Not as big as the Super Bowl, I think, to Chief's point, although it was historic and iconic, and it broke a streak and all that.
I like going into that one.
I think that's where the pregame shot started. I think that was one of the first times we heard about them, you know, taking booze there in the pregame loosen up. You know,
I get it, man.
Yeah,
that's trendy now.
Everyone's just taking their shots.
You got to go to it. I think NFL teams need to be ready for it this weekend. If you're playing in the cold, you're going to a cold market, and you live in a warm city like Houston. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling first half, we're lining them up at halftime, boys. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-drink minimum to step back out on that field, unless you have some sort of a religious objection. You know,
what if you're on like a 9-10 year run of no booze? You know, would you grant that guy?
If you're on that restriction, hand yours to the guy next to you. Just give him a shot.
There you go.
I'll take
yours. Give it to the edge rusher.
Hey, listen, I'll take a shot. Hey, we need some help here, man. Give me that drink.
That third string quarterback is lit, boy. I'll tell you what.
All right,
Davis Mills falling all over the place.
Your top 10 at 220. We got a college football darty coming up, Chief.
Yeah, let's preview the Fiesta Bowl. Ole Miss or Miami, who you got next here?
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In the nation.
All right, thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Fox NFL insider Jordan Schultz is coming up here at the top of the hour. Here's the chief of the college football darty.
Yeah, crack him if you got him. It's a game night, ladies and gentlemen.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again.
Well, I don't get they bring the head cold.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much stress.
Okay. Brian Broaddus says, not the playmaker. He says, not Ray Lewis. If the Hurricanes won an all-time speech before taking the field for the Fiesta Bowl tonight, it needs to be Hurricane alum Ed Reed. We'll see if he's in the building. Here's a little taste. Back in 2001, the halftime speech, Ed Reed's injured. He's banged up, and he's ticked at his guys.
I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no. Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it. I'm putting my heart in this shit, dog. Let's go, man.
Let's go.
There he is. There's a little taste of what Ed Reed could bring to the table. You know, Michael Irvin is trying to keep the BTA tradition alive. Do you see the six pack on that dude?
Yeah.
My gosh. Shredded as can
be. You see
be.
The veins and the biceps, bro.
Yeah.
He's just talking, like having a regular conversation, and all of a sudden that bicep comes up, and it's just a vein just streaking across it.
It's unbelievable.
Oh my God, man. What is he, 60?
Yeah.
Is he 60?
I don't know. I'm just pulling a number out. I don't know.
He was drafted in 1988. So I'm just saying how many, if you're 22 59, years old.
59.
Yeah,
59,
yep. 59, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
He could turn to 60 this year, in fact.
Looks like he could go out there and catch a few March balls 5th. Still. Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be quite the contingent there of Hurricanes alum at the Fiesta Bowl. Ole Miss, Miami, I think this is going to be a really, really fun game tonight, fellas.
I'm excited.
I do.
For it.
And it'll be fun to watch through the Cowboys lens as well when you just see all of these Hurricane defenders, the two edge rushers, mm-hmm. and Keontae Scott. He'll be wearing number 0. He's the guy that had the pick 6. He's Lewis Riddick's favorite player in college football. Saw him tweet about that the other day. Keontae Scott. That's a name that Cowboys fans, I think, need to get to know a little bit. And he really had the play of the game versus Ohio State last week. He's a total dog, sticky in coverage. And, I mean, his stats are pretty crazy just through the first couple of games of the playoff here. He's been all over the place. In two games, it's 12 tackles, 3 TFLs, 2 sacks, 5 pressures, a forced fumble, and the 72-yard pick 6. And there was a story about him. He apparently, throughout fall camp, leading into this season, he had an air mattress and he was just sleeping in the indoor practice facility where the Miami Hurricanes practice.
I was watching a breakdown of that play, and the
analysts are ridiculous.
He said not only is it instincts, but it was the extra time maybe that you had to get ready for this game. And the guys that really want to watch film see those screens getting set up to the outside, and it's just like, oh, I've seen that about 500 times over the last 10 days on tape. I know what's coming, or if I'm right, it's 6,
yeah.
And it's a pivotal moment in the game.
Yeah, yeah, that was a great play by him, and he will be a big key to tonight because Ole Miss likes to get the ball out quick. They depend on the yards after the catch there, and that can neutralize the Hurricanes' pass rush. I mean, they go super up-tempo. They're trying to exhaust you, and Mark Fletcher, the Hurricanes' running back, he is a load.
That's where I think this game is going to come down to.
Can Miami run the ball?
I think that you're going to, you know, we always talk about shortening the game, making it ugly. I think Miami wants to make this an ugly game. I think Ole Miss would love to turn it into a track meet. They Ole Miss probably feels like they have the better quarterback. They probably feel like they have the better ability to, you know, score. I mean, they can make things tough on Miami if, in fact, that they start putting up some points. Because I don't know about Carson Beck. I think he's done a really nice job of playing within himself and not doing anything stupid.
He's going to need more than a $150 tonight.
He's got a lot of experience, though. I mean, he's got a lot of experience in these types of games. So, but this is really going to come down to Mark Fletcher. And there's nobody that, you know, the yards from scrimmage, when you start to, I mean, 90 yards against Ohio State's defense, come on. That, you know. Me and Wolchuk and Dawson, we're all watching Ohio State's defense. And we're talking about 3 or 4 first-round guys at every position.
Mm-hmm.
90 yards against Ohio State. That is a real, real key. And I have a feeling that that's what Miami's going to do tonight. They're going to try and just be make this game as kind of as muddy and mucked up as they can, and then make Mark Fletcher and them like pound that rock and keep the Ole Miss offense off the field.
Yeah, that's absolutely got to be the game plan. And Ole Miss's run defense has not been very good, so Miami should have quite the advantage there. But Chambliss is scary. Chambliss is one of these dudes now that is really striking fear into you if you're a defender. And the Hurricanes, I mean, you'll have fun watching the defense in general because they play with such violence and just like that sort of that Miami swagger is sort of back now. And these guys are locked in and they will lay the wood on you. And so that'll be fun there. And, you know, you have the edge rushers that we know that are household names, but they got another guy too, Marquise Lightfoot, number 12. Watch him. Like, his speed trying to chase down Chambliss, I think, will go a long way for him tonight. And just the blocking in general. Like, you talk about Mark Fletcher, the running back. Yeah. Watch the way he pass pros.
Yeah.
And he's coming back to Miami next year, and I guess that's the NIL world. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised by that. But that is a dude who blocks his tail off. Malachi Toney, the freshman wide receiver, he's another guy that, like, watch him block.
Oh, and they insert. They block.
They are serious about that.
Yeah, they really, really do. I mean, I tell you, I watched Messador last night.
I did too.
Okay.
And I will say this.
He's a beast.
I am a big fan of Bailey from Texas Tech. I am a big fan of Howell from Texas A&M. This guy is right there with him.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, right there with him. I might have him better than Howell from A&M, but you watch him play and with him and Bain. If this thing turns into all of a sudden Ole Miss is having to come back, Ole Miss's tackles might be in some trouble. And these guys, what they'll do is they'll play them on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll really mess with your blocking scheme. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking, oh, we could slide it this way or slide it that way. You watch them, and when these two guys line up on the same side, it's usually problems for the offense.
And Mesh will stunt back in.
Yeah.
And he'll just do it himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a great knack for it. The one thing about Mesador that is a little bizarre is all of a sudden this guy, he just dips his head. He will just, like, lower his head, and he is running through people. It is, like, by any means necessary. Yeah. I don't think he's got any game plan in the world of, like, oh, I've got this pass rush move that I want to use here. I want to use my hands. I'm going to spin. Yeah. He is just, like, violently, I am getting to the football. Get the hell out of my way.
Yeah.
And will just freaking power through. It's pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, high motor monster there. So if you're watching for the Cowboys tonight, you're watching number 3, Mesador, on the edge. You're watching 4, Bengals. On the edge, you're watching number 0, the nickel corner for Miami, Keontae Scott.
61, the right tackle. If you're into that,
Scott is they're going to have to get back and get an extra pick because right now he's a day 2 guy. Now, can he play himself into the first round? Possibly, but that's going to be one where the Cowboys are going to need to get themselves an extra pick, and they very well could. And I'd love it if they did.
And number 8, Jacoby Thomas, the safety.
Yeah.
Plays violent. You're going to like him as well, and that's a guy who is draft eligible. So there it is, little Fiesta Bowl preview.
Yeah, I was looking for Ole Miss players to watch. There's none of them. So I Googled it. Like, the draft services that are out there, most of them don't have a single Ole Miss player in the top 150.
Yeah.
You could have a day 3 pick this year be their top prospect taken.
That is wild.
Yeah, yeah. To make it this far, but you know, I think that's what, to your point, that's what the quarterback does for you. You know, we've seen this from time to time where
it can elevate everything.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton had a national championship. Dak Prescott got to number 1.
That's
without NFL guys.
Dak Prescott, exactly.
Yeah, I think he needs to enter the draft. Chambliss. I mean, I don't know that his stock's ever going to be higher.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation. We got one down and 4 to go here with you on a college football semifinal Thursday. One game tonight, then Oregon, Indiana tomorrow. Jordan Schultz joins you next here in the Nation.